All right, so the new year starts tonight, and you know, I think it's always good just to take a few minutes, if you can today, and just kind of review how did 2017 go. You like what happened, and are there some things you want to change? And I always think it's healthy to write down some goals for the new year, like some thoughts you have that maybe God wants you to, some things you want you to work on. And I've just been doing that 30 plus years, and I find it challenging. I find it helps me to push a little bit more, you know, just to get out of my comfort zone. And I could share with you sometime just the strategy of goal setting, because there is a strategy. You don't want to have too many hard goals. You don't want to have too many easy goals. But you know, you just want to write a few things down that you feel like God wants you to work on for the new year. And we do get a new beginning. You know, it's calendar year, January 1, 2018. And you know, whenever I talk to people about goals, there's always this issue about, yeah, you know, I tried goals last year and I didn't make it. And I always used to laugh because you go to the YMCA starting this week and the parking lot's packed with everybody working out, you know, and by February it's a little less full, and by March and April it's empty again, you know. So, but this year we're thinking of something a little different. We want to challenge you, maybe an alternative to setting a goal for the whole year. Maybe that's just too long. And so the thinking is, we want to invite you to join us this year, starting tomorrow. You can even start today if you want to get a jump on it. Join us on a 31-day journey. 31 days. That's all you got to stay focused, 31 days. And it's in your bulletin, so if you do me a favor, just pull it out. It's that little kindness conspiracy. It's folded up inside. So, you know, in staff, we talked about, you know, what do we want to do for this year, and what are some themes we want to work on, and so we came up with this idea. We're calling it the Kindness Conspiracy, and you can see all these different, there's 28 different options, and the idea is just to challenge you to join us on a 31-day journey. For the next 31 days, pick one of these items, and then if you don't like those, we put some at the bottom, and if you don't like those, make up your own. But for 31 days, perform an act of kindness towards someone. And when you do, you just check it off. And just as a way of encouragement and celebrating with you, if you get all 31 days of performing acts of kindness and you turn it in, and hopefully with some kind of testimony how it affected you or how it affected other people, we've got a Vineyard t-shirt for you just to say thanks and to say, hey, it's awesome. And then the hope is, wow, maybe you might get addicted to this. You know, you might go, wow, that was so much fun. I'm going to try and do that all year. Well, maybe just do it 30, you know, 1 month at a time. But anyway, it's just a fun thing to say you want to try something different instead of a goal for the entire year. Join us on a 31-day journey we're calling the Conspiracy of Kindness. So, you know, whenever you talk about conspiracies, people's antennas go up. I mean, conspiracies, they just abound, especially with the internet. I mean, just almost every week something I see come across my Facebook about some new conspiracy. And I'm thinking back, I think for some reason Christians seem to be especially alert to the newest and the latest conspiracy. You know, something that's going on about the Christian church. And I know from when I first became a Christian up until this day, I've come across so many conspiracies. I remember early on as a Christian, we heard this traveling evangelist going around telling everybody that he was a former member of the Illuminati, and that he had come out of the Illuminati, but he had secret information how the Illuminati had infiltrated the Christian church, and how all this Christian rock music was demonic, and just, you know, upset everybody. And I got the information, heard him, you know, speaking on these tapes, and I thought, man, that's horrible. And so then I tried to do some background checking on him, and everything, you know, fell through. The guy was completely discredited. So, you know, but for a while, it's like, wow, man. And it was secret information that he was sharing. And then after that, I remember the Madeleine Murray O'Hare conspiracy for at least 10 years. So Madeleine Murray is the lady that got prayer out of schools in 1973. But after that, for at least 10 years, at least through the 80s, someone would come to church with a piece of paper that was typed up, and it was just done really poorly, slanted a little bit. You never had a name on it, and they would show it to me, and it was the newest conspiracy that Madeleine Murray O'Hare had been petitioning the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, to outlaw Christian broadcasting. And so there was this petition going around, at least once or twice a year, someone would come up to me and say, have you seen this petition? We got to sign this. It was petitioning the FCC not to kick Christian radio off, you know, off the air. And I got the paper, and I thought, yeah, I got hooked into one of these already. Let me check this out. And I tried to do some background. Where'd you get the paper? Well, I don't know. Someone gave it to me. Well, who gave it to you? And I call them. Who gave it to you? And I call them. Pretty soon, like, you know, this is a joke. I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to call the FCC. I call the FCC. Hi, yeah, this is Pastor Dave, and I'm concerned about this conspiracy. And so I talked to him. He goes, listen, man. He goes, we have been getting those letters for almost 30 years. This was like 20-something years, he said, of this, you know, conspiracy. He goes, there is none. We have not. She's not petitioned us. By then, she's already dead. You know, I was like, oh, man. And then the really big one that went on forever was the Procter & Gamble logo. Maybe some of you remember that, some of you don't. That's a Cincinnati-based firm, has the crescent moon, 13 stars. I mean, all through the 90s, I would get letters and people call me, do you know Procter & Gamble, that symbol is satanic, and if you buy, you know, Crest toothpaste and brush your teeth with it, you're joining the New Age movement, you know, and it's like, well, I don't want to do that, you know, and you just get shook up by these things, and then I get a letter to our church from Procter & Gamble, we are not satanic, that's from the 13 colonies, we're not satanic, and then I get a letter from Billy Graham saying, on behalf of Procter & Gamble, stop spreading this rumor, you know, Procter & Gamble's not of the devil, and you know, and then I saw, I think like right toward the end of the 90s or 2000, they sued the Amway Corporation, a bunch of Amway employees, for spreading that false rumor and won a $19 million lawsuit for slander and spreading rumors. But I mean, it never ends. You know, we had the fake moon landing, which still goes around, you know, this conspiracy, they really didn't land on the moon, and if I hear another, you know, JFK assassination conspiracy, I'm going to hurt somebody, you know. I mean, books and books have been written and studying, you know, and I mean, it just, the 9-11, you know, the 9-11, it really was an inside job, and the Malaysian airline that disappeared really was a conspiracy. It just never ends. There's always, I don't know, people that are drawn into this idea of conspiracies, they get the inside information, and they're the only one that know it, and they're sharing it with you, and the whole premise of conspiracies just has no foundation. How do you keep this secret? And this is just crazy. But my point is, I'm not here to talk to you about crazy conspiracies. I am here to talk to you about a real conspiracy. A real conspiracy. A real, real live conspiracy. As a matter of fact, it's so real, it's being practiced in the church, quite possibly by some of you, like the person sitting right next to you could be in on this. Yeah, as a matter of fact, touch the person next to you and say, I am watching you, man. I'm watching you right now. I'm watching you. Pastor Dave said there's somebody in here who's in. What is it? It's the kindness conspiracy. It's this thing that's been going on for thousands of years, being kind to people on behalf of God. And it's a quiet conspiracy, but it is a real conspiracy. And the Bible is filled with stories of people who bought into this conspiracy, who bought into this lifestyle, this concept of actually advancing the kingdom of God through simple acts of kindness, and how it can actually change your life. It can change the life of the person who you were kind to. And even if it doesn't, it just advances the presence of the kingdom of God. There's power in acts of kindness. So over the next several weeks, in conjunction with inviting you to join us on the journey, we'll be talking about different acts of kindness that are found in the scriptures. And just take a look at them and see what we can learn. And then hopefully encourage you, join us. Just 31 days. Look for one of those things every day. Be intentional, cross something off, and then just pray, God, what's going on here? You know, if you want to be part of advancing the kingdom of God, this is a simple way you can do it. So I want to read this morning about a young lady who really bought into this idea of the kindness conspiracy. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to this, the book of Genesis, chapter 24. So a little bit of background history. In the book of Genesis, chapter 24, Abraham is getting old, and he has this son Isaac, and he wants a bride for Isaac, And he doesn't want Isaac to marry any of the ladies in the area where he's living. They just weren't good people. And he wanted him to go back and marry some relatives. So he gets his servant and he says, listen, I'm going to send you on a journey. I want you to go back to my hometown, find a bride for my son. And the servant says, well, okay, I'll do it. He goes, well, what if I find some young lady and she doesn't want to come? He said, don't worry about it. You do your part. God will go before you. It'll work out. So you get to this chapter 24. They have that conversation. Then he starts on the journey. So starting in verse 10, it said, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all of his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. So that's a relative of Abraham. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand near by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now listen to this. Now let it be that the young woman in whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So he has this prayer. It's asking for a sign. Lord, I'm here. I'm in this town. I just don't know who's supposed to bring back for my master, son Isaac. So, God, I'm going to ask some lady when she comes here if you could give me a drink of water. And if she says, sure, and then she says, hey, you know what? I think I'll just feed water all 10 of your camels. Quite a project. That's the one. So he asked for a sign. Verse 11, and it happened, now this is great, and it happened before he had even finished speaking. So he's either just saying this out loud or thinking it in his mind. He's just thinking, I could use a little help here, God. You know, if the lady comes and I ask her, just before he finishes, it says that, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on the shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. The servant ran to meet her. Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Here's the moment. She says, drink, my lord. Then she hastened and let down the pitcher in her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, you know what? I think I'll draw water for all your camels until they finish drinking. Just wonder how that thought popped into her head. Actually, I think I do know. She was at Vineyard Community Church that morning, and the pastor was preaching about acts of kindness, and he was telling everybody that one of the easiest ways to be involved in this conspiracy of kindness is to just do a little extra whenever you're asked to do something. And so Rebecca's sitting there that morning. She's thinking, oh, that's awesome. And then she goes out to draw the water. The servant says, hey, can I have a drink? And she says, yeah. And while he's drinking, she's thinking, oh, you know what? I could probably go a little extra. You know what? I think I'll get water for your camels. So then she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all of his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel, two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And you read on the rest of the story. She ends up being the lady that God has chosen. He tells Nahor that he came for a bride, and they stay there for a while and celebrate. He brings her back. She becomes the wife of Isaac. Unbelievable story. I mean, this lady had no idea that morning when she woke up that her life was about to change radically, and it was going to change by a simple act of doing just a little bit more than what she was asked to do. I'm sure that morning when she woke up, she had things on her mind like we do. She was busy. It was hot. She didn't know this guy. She had stuff to do. Got to get the water. Got to bring it home. What's this guy want? He wants a drink of water. Fine, have a drink of water. How easy it would have been for her to miss this. But But here's the first point on this whole idea of joining the conspiracy of kindness, and that is simply this. It doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. I don't think Rebecca went and started the Water Everybody's Camel ministry. You know, from then on, that's what she did. This was like a one-time thing. She just felt inspired and just did it. That maybe, you know, we don't always have opportunities to create an environment where I can think it through and say, I'm going to do this kind deed for this person. Maybe we start with it by just being open to the idea that when I'm asked to do something, go a little farther. Do a little more than what I'm asked. And this can happen at home. You know, whatever your chore is, you do your chore and a little extra. I know that's, you know, that's challenging for some of us. Don't even like doing our chores. But what about at work? I know that's kind of like un-American to do more than what you're asked. But what about, you know, so you're supposed to be at work at 8. Show up a little early. You get your 15-minute break somewhere in there. Well, you don't have to get all 15 minutes in. Cut a little short. What about punch-out time? Punch-out time's 5 o'clock. Stay a little later. I mean, you know, this is the idea that there are so many ways where you could do a little extra. It's not that hard. It doesn't have to cost you. You don't have to be incredibly outgoing. You don't have to be super smart. You don't have to be handsome. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to be anything. Just alert to the fact that whenever you're asked to do something or whenever you're doing something, you just ask God, is there something I can do that is a little extra? And lest you're not aware of this, Jesus preached about this in the New Testament. We're going to look at one more verse here. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, but it's part of what we've referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever preached. And as part of this sermon, Jesus is preaching, and he starts out with, I'm going to go down to chapter 5, and let's see here. Starting 41. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him. Go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, now he ends it with this question, what do you do more than others? So Jesus was in on this whole conspiracy of kindness, and he was teaching the idea that whenever you're asked to do something, why don't you consider going that extra mile? Now, you know, this is not something that's natural within us, but this is the teaching of Jesus, and he's saying that this is evidence that you are children of your Father. Now, there's always reasons why we're hesitant to go the extra mile. I can think of several, but I know one of them is just simply our schedule. You know, we run these tight schedules during the day, and we're busy about the business that we're supposed to be doing, and we're convinced that what we're doing is the most important thing in the world, and it is, but what happens is we get so tied up in our schedule that we miss that opportunity when someone has a need. We just can't fit it into our schedule. I would just suggest that we consider loosening up our schedule a little bit, flex a little bit, and you might be able to see, because you're looking around, you might be able to see those opportunities. They're everywhere, and they're opportunities when we're asked to do something that we just take that extra step. I think the other thing that's difficult about going the extra mile is simply this. It's always inconvenient. It just simply is. It's not something you necessarily plan for. It just shows up. And that decision right then, like, you know, this is an inconvenient situation. But I'm pretty sure that going the extra mile almost always falls into that category of it's inconvenient. It comes upon you, or the opportunity is there, and you had something else planned for that minute or that hour or that day. But just learn to accept the fact that if we're going to be sons of our Father, if we're going to be agents of the kindness conspiracy, that inconvenience is just going to be a part of it. And then one other thing that I think sometimes we struggle with is this idea of separating our lives into what I would refer to as two compartments, a separation of two things. We look at what we would call the sacred things that we do, things like praying, reading the Bible, going to church. Those are sacred. And then we look at other things that we do as though they're secular, eating breakfast, getting dressed, driving to work, cutting your lawn, cleaning the house, doing the laundry, whatever. We have this list of secular, and then we have this list of sacred. But actually, that is so unbiblical and so unhealthy. David in the Psalms prayed to God, Psalm 86. He said, God, unite my heart. Help me to be united in my heart, that I may learn to fear your name. That I could live with this concept that simply everything is sacred. This is what Paul taught in the New Testament. Whatever you do, even eating or drinking, do it to the glory of God. How can you eat or drink to the glory of God? He's saying everything is sacred. And then if we see everything as sacred, when there's that opportunity to go the extra mile, we're inclined to say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go the extra mile. Here's the thing. Kindness is the language of God. This is so true. And one of the most common questions I get asked from people, or people will say to me, would be something like this. I really don't hear God's voice. You know, I haven't heard his voice. And I totally understand that. I don't think anybody has attained that perfection, you know, perfect pitch where you hear the voice of God. But here is the thing. Kindness is the language of God. It truly is. To the good and to the evil, to those who deserve it and those who don't. That is the kingdom of God. Justice would tell us to do what's asked of us. Grace motivates us to go beyond. And kindness is the language that God speaks. So if we want to learn to hear the voice of God better, all we have to start training ourselves to do is be a little more open to those promptings when you're at the store, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're with your friends, that little prompting that says, help them out, or do this, or say that, or give them this, or whatever. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the better we're able to respond to that, I can tell you this, the better we will be able to recognize the voice of God. So, the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the kindness conspiracy. I don't know, I might throw in a few other new conspiracies that are, you know, some of you might send me in emails or I've come across. But we'll be talking about the one big one, and that is the real conspiracy of advancing the kingdom of God. And I encourage you, want to do something new, something exciting, something challenging, jump on board. Look, that list up on your fridge every morning. You get up, have breakfast, go down the list, go, I'm gonna do this one today. I'm gonna do this one today. And just for the fun of it, become one of the agents of God. It is a real conspiracy. It really does change lives. Think about this question. How different would Rachel's life have been, or Rebecca's life have been, if she didn't offer to do that extra watering of the camels? Her whole life would have been different. That simple act. Now, we don't want to have ulterior motives. I'm not doing it so that I get rewards. I'm not doing it so that I see instant results. I'm doing it because I believe this is kingdom living. This is truly kingdom living. And what better way than to start your year by jumping on board and saying, I'm going to go for at least 31 days. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are kind to all of us. You reign on the just and the unjust. You love the enemy. You love those who love you. You exhibit kindness. And we are your children. I pray, God, that you awaken that within us, that we start out 2018 with this mission. We want to be your secret agents this year, God, for 31 days. Help us, God. Help us to be open to not just doing what's asked of us, but to go a little extra. It's serving, giving, helping, whatever it is, just a little extra. And I pray, God, that we would see some evidence of your Holy Spirit as we're participating, that we would just get the sense of, wow, this is truly kingdom living. So I pray you bless this, God. I pray as we launch into 2018 that it's a kickstart, God. It really launches us with the right vision. So go before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering. Listen, I just want to open up the front here and just say, listen, if you want to close out the year just coming up front worshiping God. I also think there's some things going on in people's hearts, like maybe God's speaking to you about some challenge for the new year, something he wants you to change. Maybe some of you want to break some habits, change some things. Some of you facing some big challenges, or you just want to come up and worship the Lord. But I just want to close out. There's Holy Spirit's just on that song right now. It's just good, and I just want to close out the year. This is it. It's my last time worshiping in the house of God, 2017. I want to give my heart, mind, and soul to honor God. So we'll close out with the song. If you just want to come up and pray, it's open. We'll just close out with that.
And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Oh, 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 oh.
One more time.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer child of God.
I'm a child, believe it.
I am a child of God.
I'm a child.
I am a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, amen to that. God bless you. That concludes our service. Have a great evening. Stay safe tonight. Have a happy new year. We look forward to seeing you next week.